What's up, everybody? It's Jeff Meacham here. Thank you all for tuning in this week. I know I've been kind of absent this week, and I apologize for that. As I record this, it is 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday, the 19th of February, and this is the best my voice has sounded all week. I've been in bed or out of bed doing various things that you do out of bed when you're sick. It's been miserable. So I apologize for lack of content. I apologize for only being active in a text format on social media. I will endeavor to get the recording up. I wanted to get up this coming Friday as advertised. You saw the little teasers. Anyway, this is a great show. I enjoyed doing this match with Greg a lot. It's a great match. It happened on this day, holy cow, 14 years ago. That's madness. It's 14 years since Kurt Angle's last world championship title defense in a one-on-one match on a WWE pay-per-view. It's crazy. But here we go. Wrestling Rewind.
Welcome to Wrestling Rewind here on the Jeff Meacham Network. I am, of course, the West Coast professor, host, owner, executive producer of the channel, Jeff Meacham. Joining me once again this week as we march on toward WrestleMania weekend is the Pennsylvania sensation. He is the wrestling trivia guru extraordinaire. He is Greg Cherry. Greg, what's up, brother?
Yes, the greatest wrestling trivia mind of all time.
And you know what? I will go to battle with Tommy McGregor on that forever, because you beat me, and sorry, Tommy, it's over.
I have the series. I won the series 3-2, so it's okay.
Yeah, you did. You know, it's
But yeah, I'm doing good. Looking forward to watching this match, which we brought up last week. I had watched the Christian Cage and Jeff Jarrett match live. I also watched this match live when it happened.
Yeah, I was going back and looking through the card on this show and going through and kind of seeing here and there the spots. I realized I haven't seen this entire show ever.
Really?
I've never seen this show. I talked about last week the lead into this show because, of course, the march to this show really started at the Royal Rumble when the Kurt Angle championship defense ended the show with The Undertaker lightning bolting the ring and collapsing the ring.
Right.
And the reason I remember that – right, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, the Royal Rumble would have been very hard to do with a broken ring.
Right, and the reason I remember severely is because we were covering that show for XMV. We went up to good old Landscatter, California to cover a former co-host's indie gig and ended up watching the Royal Rumble pay-per-view at the bar that where the ring was. So we watched in horror as John Cena regained the WWE Championship. We watched in wonder as Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble. And then we watched The Undertaker defend the championship. I think it was against Mark Henry, was it not?
It was. Mark Henry main event of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
There you go. And Kurt Angle retained the title. And Undertaker came out on that big horse-drawn vehicle straight out of Roman times, if you will. Which, of course, that was the theme for the Royal Rumble because of the McMahon family commercial they had that year. And Undertaker made his presence. No, he let Kurt Angle know, I want your title. So here we are a month later, and we are in Baltimore.
Whoa.
I know.
Same reaction I had last week, but
I know. But you know what? It's one of those things where Baltimore is a awful, just a rotten sports town, but a wonderful wrestling town.
I was gonna say Baltimore is bad for me because the Orioles are in the Yankees division.
Yes,
and obviously the Steelers and the Ravens are both in the AFC North. So
right. Yes,
it's one of those things where it's like, oh, good, I get to hate Baltimore twice.
They're like
second behind Boston of my least favorite teams.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's so funny to think of a Kings fan, a Los Angeles fan, not liking Boston. But you got to remember, number one, I'm a Kings fan, and the Kings and the the Bruins just hated each other in the 70s. They were just vicious rivals through, I mean, at a time where the Kings were making the playoffs sporadically, but they still were making it. Boston would always be the one to piss in our Kool-Aid every single damn year, just without fail. So, but, and then of course, being a Dallas Cowboys fan, being an NFL fan, period, you're not a fan of New England, so you're just not. So,
I mean, I actually got to enjoy the Super Bowl this year because the Patriots.
Yes, it was the first. But you know, it's funny. I, for the first time that I can recall, did not watch Super Bowl, not even the commercials. I sat in here in the studio and was working all that Sunday. I was working on editing, working on production, working on notes, just kind of getting ready for last week's recordings. So
God, you missed a good game.
I heard, and I ended up seeing highlights, of course, because, you know, every news outlet carries it, and I do watch the news, God forbid. And it was one of those things where I regret not watching it, and I think I have it recorded on Hulu, so I'm going to go back and watch it. So, but this arena, Baltimore, this is the site of Sting's first WCW World NWA World Championship win under WCW, of course, against Ric Flair. This is where Ron Simmons upset Vader to become the WCW champion, and it was at the same arena in 1999 where the NWO 2000 stable was formed. Because as you recall, Kevin Nash, Baltimore, the band is back together. Hit the music. So,
yeah.
And also, it was the site of the 1994 King of the Ring, No Mercy 2003, and after this, Backlash 2008, Extreme Rules 2010, and TLC 2011. Many, many, many Raw and SmackDowns. And believe it or not, this is the arena where two major championships changed hands in WWF history. In 1985, Tito Santana defeated Greg Valentine for the Intercontinental title in a steel cage. And I didn't know this till I read it right now as I record this with you. In 1977 is when superstar Billy Graham defeated Bruno Sammartino for the world title.
Ooh.
So this arena was the end of Bruno's final day as the WWF champion.
Once again, Pittsburgher gets his day ruined in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh just has every reason to hate Baltimore, no question.
Yep.
So, for those of you following along and haven't figured out by now that we are the WWE Network, we are No Way Out 2006, you want to scroll over to WWE Pay-Per-View, scroll over to 2006, over to No Way Out, and if you're on the Roku, like Greg and I are, you have tabs at your disposal, and you scroll over to the tab after the Trifecta of Mysterio tabs.
Yeah.
Where it says Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker and hit play. And then I hit pause when the screen came up. I'm at 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 39 seconds. It should be a long shot of the crowd. You may be at a shot of the Kurt Angle Undertaker promo at the very end of that promo before the screen dissolves into the crowd shot. But, you know, you'll get there eventually. It'll be all right. So 2 hours, 9 minutes, 39 seconds. Again, Greg, you're in college. You're a fan of wrestling. You know, you watched TNA's show last week. You're watching this show this week. You're also watching and listening to XMV on NoDQ.com and are a frequent contributor. And we love you for that, by the way. The show's in transition at this point because we had, you know, I'm not going to say who, but we had lost one of our longtime folks again.
Right.
And it was pretty much the Josh, Greg, and Jeff show at this point, with the girls being involved more often.
You mean Lee?
No.
Or wasn't Lee? Lee was on a few.
I'm sorry, Josh, Lee, and Jeff. I said Greg because I'm so used to you being part of the show now that I just lumped you in there. I did. Yeah, Josh, Lee, and Jeff show. And it's just so funny. I go back and watch that stuff. I actually watched the show I'm talking about at the bar in Lancaster. And I go, wow. It's funny to think of yourself as polished in this line of work, but there's so many things I can nitpick about myself now. You know, you've been with me pretty much the entire ride, video wise and YouTube wise and now podcast wise. What are you thinking about the wrestling world in general in 2006? I mean, we just lost Eddie Guerrero the previous fall. You know, we've got, right. You know, as we watch this match, Rey Mysterio has lost his opportunity to challenge for the world championship that he won through a Rumble because Randy Orton screwed him. You know, where are you at in your wrestling mindset as we get ready to watch the main event here?
Well, you know, I was still a little markish, I guess I could say at this point.
Right.
Because this 2006 was before I actually went to start training to work indie shows. So I was still a little bit of a mark at this point. I'm 19 in my dorm, and I was just enjoying the show. I enjoyed so much that I just got to sit and chill and watch wrestling by myself. Granted, I had two other roommates, but one like slept pretty much all the time, and the other one actually had a social life. But call him as you see him, folks.
That's right.
But I did get to enjoy watching all the wrestling content, whether it's WWE, TNA, obviously XMV back in the day, and it was just a blast. I got to enjoy talking to you guys about wrestling, making your entrance videos, if you remember those.
Oh, yes.
And it was just a great time.
Yeah, it's again, you know, it's funny. I think about, you know, where we are in my life at this point. I'm engaged to be married, and Lee's engaged to be married, and Aaron's with somebody, and I think Josh was still chasing the girls, because God bless him, that's what Josh did. And but you know what? We're all still fans, and we're all still able to enjoy the product. Yes, we go on XMV and, you know, bitch about what we don't like, but we don't make it our entire life's mission to undermine every little decision that goes into the show making process like we do on social media now, which is why you made a good point last week. Twitter's a cesspool. It's just awful. So
it is.
What
you think I'm not on it anymore.
Yeah, I applaud you for removing yourself.
Well, that was kind of twofold. I got hacked.
Well, yeah, but you could have easily made another account and, you know, just made it private and not bothered. And, you know, and you didn't. And you know what? It's again, you know, I had a couple different accounts over the years. I actually had one set up where I was going to have this big NWO event for their 20th anniversary, and I ended up deleting the account because people just crapped on it. So, but then when the podcast came up, I was like, you know what? I kind of probably should have a business account. So I use that email for the business side of things. But it's funny, you know, Aaron's Twitter even says, you know, I watch Raw and SmackDown, so you don't have to. Like,
yeah,
because, you know, people would just rather, you know, fixate on the negative. This right here, what we're about to push play on in a few seconds, is just one of those matches where everything clicks. It's so good. Kurt Angle was probably, even though he was toward the end of his WWE run here, and I'll be honest with you, this is his last singles title match on pay-per-view where he is the champion. And yeah. The Undertaker had not yet won the big gold belt as the world champion yet. He was still a former WWE champion, but had not won this version of the world title. So both these guys are still in a place where they're hungry and they want it. And it's just golden in my opinion. And it everything just clicks. So speaking of clicks, 3, 2, 1, play. And interesting, the champion come out first here. That's how The Undertaker is respected. The world heavyweight champion main eventing the show, enters before the challenger.
And you mentioned that this was his last singles match. It was his last one-on-one match as champion.
Right.
Because technically the triple threat is a singles match.
Well, okay, you're right, one-on-one. I apologize. Tony Chimmel.
Hey, Tony Chimmel.
That's it.
I bet you he comes back for Edge at WrestleMania.
I hope he does. I mean,
he kind of has to, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it's actually in Adam's contract where he has to announce his matches now.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the Hall of Fame thing with Beth Phoenix was probably the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
That was so good. And I love how Beth set it up, and even she looks surprised still. And Edge, oh, yeah, to his credit, just totally, like, almost no soul. He was just, like, kind of half giggling, but he's kind of like, God damn it, really? You guys suck.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
there we go.
There's the gong. There it is. Dude, and just, Angle's just intense. He was the wrestling machine here. No question, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's just ready to...
Before he even had the name for his brief,
yeah,
very brief ECW run.
Yeah, and you know what? I found out recently through listening to the one of the podcasts I listened to that Angle hated the ECW run. He didn't want to go. I feel so bad about that because, you know, again, the ECW brand was just a god-awful experiment, no question about it. But I think that if Kurt Angle had been 100% healthy and not been so ridden with injury and pill issues, I think he really could have been the face of that ECW brand, you know, with or without Rob's arrest taking place. I think a series of matches with Rob and Angle would have been freaking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, that's 2020 booking in 2020, but you know, it's you know, what could have been, you know. Look at this, man. This is intense. I love this.
Yeah. Just the silhouette of the Undertaker.
This is so great. It's so funny. This reminds me of I don't know how into Star Trek you are at this point in your life, but Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, the opening scene where they have the big simulator scenario, and then the doors open, and there's Kirk silhouetted against the smoke and the lights and everything. Kind of reminds me of that. And again, he looks intense, too. Again, these guys are both just like dead serious. Yeah, it's a gimmick. Yeah, he's a dead guy. And yeah, he's an Olympic gold medalist who's been goofy in the past. But these two guys right now are like, okay, it's for the world title. It's the main event. It's the last stop before Mania. Let's get it on, folks.
And at this point, the winner was going to go on to face Randy Orton.
Yes, because
Randy lost his shot.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Mysterio had been screwed out of his championship. Of course, we're going to find out on SmackDown that week that is not the case. But, ironically, it's Orton himself that takes the fall in that WrestleMania match.
Right.
So, which is why we had Angle versus Mysterio later. After they, quote unquote, broke Randy's ankle.
Yeah.
Because he was a...
Thanks for that, man.
Because he was a bad little boy. You know what? You and I have both been part of this live in a stadium, watching him come down to the ring. Yeah. It's one of those moments in time.
And it's unexplainable how in an open air stadium, it gets 10 degrees colder instantly.
Yeah.
When he comes out.
Yeah. The goosebumps pop up on your arms and your neck, and you sit there going, what the hell is going on?
And both of us were in stadiums in Florida, so it's not exactly freezing.
Yeah, I mean, it was mildly rainy that week I was at Disney World, but at the time that he came out for the main event, yeah, it was dark, but it was still freaking March. It was, no, just stop it.
It's like 75 degrees still.
Seriously, it's a nice, decent 75 degrees even at nighttime. And you sit out there and you know, again, you get the chills. You're going, okay, this is some Disney magic unreal shit here.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre what it does. And you know what? He has done that from the moment he came back in 2004. Like before when he was the dead man and would walk out to the ring or whatever, watching on TV. I wouldn't get that. Watching that just now as he walked to the ring, I got the goose pimples going. I'm going, all right, whatever. And there's Nick Patrick with the big gold belt. There's some irony there.
Yeah.
You know, again.
Wait for him to go down.
Yeah.
Wait for him to go down, count the fall, and like hold on to his neck after two.
Right, yeah.
Reminiscent of his NWO days.
Exactly. And again, you know, people poop on the WWE version, but the big gold belt is still overall the prettiest championship belt I think that they've made.
I mean the winged eagle, but
again, the winged eagle is definitely Hey, yeah, Kurt, yeah, you need to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
I love it. Kurt's trying to test him. Taker's like, nah, dude. No. Not how it works here, son. I got tenure.
Yeah.
I will own you, dude. And again, you know, subtle things, but this last year or so that he was in the WWE prior to going to TNA, Kurt had a lot more black singlets with red, white, and blue trim and gold trim than he did previously. Yeah. Because previously it was a lot of blues and a lot of reds and a lot. This is the wrestling machine. Kurt Angle was a lot of blacks trimmed with other stuff.
Right.
Much more intense, much more direct. And you notice, after the whole thing with Eugene at SummerSlam the previous year where he got his medals back, Kurt got legit serious. He was like, all right, enough. Yeah. And even before that, when he wrestled Shawn at WrestleMania and at Vengeance, it was still dead serious Kurt. I mean, yeah, the lead in the Mania was goofy with the whole Sherry thing and the Marge Jenny match. But, you know, coming out of WrestleMania, Kurt became so much more intense, so much more focused. And I think
we'll skip over the Booker T and Charmel storyline.
I honestly forgot about that till you just said it. I legitimately forgot about that.
We all try and forget about it.
Yeah,
I hated that storyline too.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure. Oh, and you know what? Not to you know, dig on anybody, but you know, it's the same type of thing as Undertaker stalking Sarah when he has the hot wife. Angle would not stalk Charmel, who was beautiful, but Angle's wife's fucking hot. Like, it's and of course, you know, people are going to, oh, well, she was black and he was white. That unfortunately was part of why I hated it, because it was so racially undertoned that it was like, okay, wow, really, guys?
Yeah, it was a weird storyline.
Very ill-conceived, very poorly done. And, you know, but again, you know, this Kurt Angle right here, and, you know, the Kurt Angle we're going to see the rest of this particular calendar year. I mean, think about it. We're going to see this match. We're going to see the Mania stuff with Orton and Mysterio, the stuff after Mania with Mysterio, and then he's going to join ECW and, you know, have, you know, again, not the best work of his career, but definitely among the most intense stuff of his career. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the year, he's in TNA wrestling Samoa Joe. And again, those are some intense bouts themselves. So. I wish so much that both of them had been healthy when he came back to WWE, because I would love to see him and Joe go just once.
Oh yeah.
And this still gets me to this day. He is 300 pounds and he's flying like a cruiserweight.
Oh, flatline.
That was cool.
He did that in a match against the FBI and, like, won with the submission hold.
Oh, jeez.
Which I don't think he ever used again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the FBI was another ECW crossover that didn't work.
No.
Whoa! Easy there, killer. Gee, golly. You know?
Imagine if, like, this Taker would have faced Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30.
Oh, I know. It would have been a completely different ball game, man.
Yeah.
Yep. And again, you know, we say that, and we got to keep in mind that Taker got a concussion very, very early in that match.
Right.
So, you know, even the Taker that walked down to the ring was not the same Taker that, you know, was in the match. So again, you know, this entire show is based on looking back and what ifs and whatnot. But again, you know, yeah, if the Undertaker of 2005 through 2007 would have come up against Brock Lesnar, we may not have ever seen the end of the streak.
It was like a CM Punk like knee by Taker.
That was pretty vicious. And you know, it's funny, you know, it's, you know, people talk about, you know, the presentation of these guys over the years. Both these guys right now, decent looking tans, not a whole lot of pale skin going on, and both looking healthy and, you know, just ready to kick ass. Like I said, they're just, again, they're both looking good. They're both feeling good. They're both ready to tear the house down. And again, they're going to go almost 30 minutes here. So, hang on 1 second. Ask me.
Yeah, you tell him, Nick Patrick.
Yes, Nick, because you are a badass.
Uh-oh. Ow.
That's not good in the back. That hurts. Crap. Sorry, I'm trying to type as I do this. I apologize. Life gets in the way, as we always say on this show.
Yeah, it happens.
It does. So there we go. Okay, I'm going to turn this thing off. All right, here we go.
Do you know what kind of annoys me about WWE, like, commentary?
Yes. Oh, I know what you're going to say right now, but there are a few things that annoy me about it.
Now, well, I mean, like, in general, like, over the years.
Okay.
Right. Why did they constantly feel the need to explain the rules? Like, we've been wrestling fans for 30 years. We know how matches work. Cole said something about, hey, he can't win the title by disqualification. I'm like, he's been in the business for 15 years, like, just in WWE. It's like, he knows that at this point.
Yeah. I often wonder if Vince is in their ear producing them.
It has to be.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is producing them with the presentation of, hey, we've got new ears and eyes on the product. Fill them in on the gaps.
Right.
Because
it's like every time they, like, explain the rules of a ladder match.
Yeah.
Like, how many of them have there been?
Yeah. And again, I will never truly play devil's advocate for Vince McMahon because, well, yeah. But it's one of those things where the business is always evolving and the product and the fan base is ever evolving. So you could have, you know, 1, 2, 100, 1,000, a million new eyes on a particular match or a particular show that have never watched or haven't watched in a long time. So I would think that Vince would feel the need to introduce the elements to the new people. But again, that's just, you know, my own one. You know, if I'm for fuck's sake. And there goes my train of thought right there with the fist of the face. Jesus Christ. Soup Bone will do it. Oh my God. Now that was cool. That was a unique counter. He ducked right under him and clipped him like a damn tree. That was beautiful. That's why he won the gold medal. Stuff like that, man. Just thinking outside the box.
Although I doubt he used a leg clips in the Olympics.
Well, probably not, but you know, it's, yeah. But, you know, it's again, you know, that you and I have the conversation almost every week about Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, 1 and 1A. But, you know, also, this guy right here that's whipping the Undertaker's leg into the ropes and into the post is definitely all-time top 10, dare say top 5. And I think that had he stayed 100% healthy and, you know, been clean for both his company runs, he'd probably be even higher on any list.
Man,
that, you know,
I can't imagine that's fun.
Yeah, and you know, it's, yeah, I can't imagine having my, you know, part of my 6'10", 300-pound frame being wrapped around the post like that, twisted by a guy who, you know, can twist me like a freaking pretzel if he really wants to.
I mean, the regular figure four hurts. I can't imagine how bad the post version hurts.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough where I've been in the figure four as a part of the business, but never been to the point in a grudge between a client of mine and somebody else where I ended up in a figure four around the ring post.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
And it can't be fun for the person given the figure four either. Uh-oh,
no, as a matter of fact, Bret Hart mentioned, I think in his book or somewhere down the line after the match with Goldberg that he went to put the figure four on, I want to say it was Terry Funk, in their match they had on Nitro, and either Funk didn't know how to take, and Brett just completely reared back, and then he smacked his head on them on the floor and gave himself another concussion. So it's not exactly, you know, easy peasy for the guy applying the hold either.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's funny. For some reason, when they showed that shot of Angle with the crowd sign behind him, I was looking for the faces. I forgot. It's not Mania. It's No Way Out. Because that week, both WrestleMania and Raw had were at the Allstate Arena, so they had the banner going around the arena of the wrestlers' faces. So,
watch.
Yeah, pretty much. Not as botchy as last week's match, though.
No.
I you know what? I got a little bit of feedback that we were a little hard on those guys. It's Jeff Jarrett and Christian. It shouldn't have been as clustery as it was.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it can happen to anybody if you don't have chemistry with a person.
Yeah.
Even as great as you both are, you're not going to have a good match.
I guess not. I mean, you know, these guys, are, I mean, they had a botch of staff, but they're having a great match here. Like I said, they're still going to go another little while here. So, you know, again, you know, there's a comparison of Kurt Angle and Undertaker having a 30-minute match as opposed to, you know, a TNA championship match going 12 to 15 and, you know, there being twice as many botches. It's like, it's, you know, it's, yeah. Is it indicative of the product of the company? Maybe. But then again, like we talked about, you had a few months before, you had the greatest triple threat exhibition match in history. So, yeah.
Oh, you're not even a fan of triple.
God damn! I did not see that coming. That's just unnecessary.
I mean, Kurt Angle's reversals are things of legend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's again. Just imagine how good he could have been had he signed sooner and been, you know, gone into the training even a year prior to when he did.
I was going for the other one.
Yeah, I'm going to break both his ankles. Hell, I don't care.
Yeah.
Ego opportunity, ankle killer. Yeah, he was so good, so quick, and he stayed good pretty much throughout. Yes, he had his demons with the pills and the alcohol and everything, but you know what? When Kurt Angle was told to go, he went, man. He was on. If I can find one flaw in his entire WWE career, it's the pairing with Daivari. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That was so weird. And then Daivari moved on to Mark Henry. It was like, huh?
And then he moved on to Kali.
Which, that at least that I understood to a certain extent.
Right.
I mean, I guess Daivari's thing was he was trying to take the Undertaker down any way he could. So you move from Mark Henry to Kali. That makes sense.
Ooh.
But you know, again, Kali and making sense in the same sentence.
Yeah,
poor Kali. He, I hear he's such a nice guy. He just tried his best. it's kind of like Jorge Gonzalez, where it's like, you know, he really wasn't, you know, destined to be a wrestler. He just had that look. You know, he had that build and that unique. Not charisma, because that's the wrong word, but, you know, the appeal, I guess, to certain eyes, you know. I mean, Gonzalez was a basketball player, and he couldn't move. His knees were shot. So Ted Turner went, wait a minute, I own a wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another tragic story in the business. But, yeah, it's, you know, Jesus. I don't mean to keep stopping mid-sentence, but he's guillotining Kurt's face. And those aren't cruiserweight size legs either for this, it's, you know.
No.
Golly. But, you know, unfortunately for every other big man in wrestling history, there's only one Big Show and there's only one Undertaker. You know, so, you know, Vader was a rare exception. Vader was a big guy who, you know, a big, like, huge, over 400-pound guy that could still do the things that Vader could do. You know, there was Big Show. There was Undertaker and Kane. It's, you know, those guys are the exception to the general rule. And, you know, the general rule for the big guys worked in the 70s and early 80s when Andre was still very mobile.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. you know, as we got into the Monday Night Wars and the cruiserweights becoming a thing, it's, you know, the big man almost had to evolve and for the most part did not.
Yeah.
So.
But if you want to talk about modern day big guys that can do cruiserweight moves, look at the NXT North American champion.
Oh my goodness. Keith Lee just impresses me every single week. Every single time I see him.
Is Portland, by the time this goes up, has Portland already had
Portland? Portland is last Sunday. So for all we know, he's not anymore. This is true. So
this is recorded before TakeOver Portland. So he might have lost the title to Dijakovic.
Yeah, but, I predicted on this last Friday that he did not. He retained the title, so you know, hopefully,
yeah.
That came to fruition. Oh wait, actually, this is going to that. Fuck's sake, I'm ruining everything. We just bought two shows in one. Jesus Christ. Okay, so tune in Friday for the rest of my predictions for TakeOver Portland, last Friday or whatever it was. Good grief.
Oh well.
Anyway.
Oh, shit. Well, a whole lot of scientific stuff when you just get kicked in the face.
Yeah, pretty much. It's and the poor camera guy's trying to run for his life, trying to get out of the way of all the shit flying.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I see Hugo still down at ringside. He hadn't been completely killed yet.
No.
He's making some news again. I saw a few weeks ago about Andrade's suspension.
Yeah, he said that Andrade was innocent.
Yeah, and then he wasn't given a chance to prove otherwise. So it's like, huh? Oi!
Oh,
God!
He didn't even take that table apart.
No. Oh, jeez. These guys are just going down and dirty, nitty grit, tooth and nail, man. Yeah, it's, you know, and again, you know, Undertaker's not old, but he's still a good, you know, 20 years into his overall career by this point.
Yeah. Did it get, like, stuck in Kurt's back to the table? Oh,
yeah, it sure did. God!
It makes it worse.
What is it with Undertaker and that table and corners of things against his opponents?
I don't know. Well, you were there for when Shawn Michaels did it to himself in that match against Flair.
That was, oh God! Even from as far away as I was, you could hear the you almost hear his ribs breaking. I was like, ugh. God. Now, like I said, the worst one I ever saw, and I didn't see it when it happened, obviously, because, you know, you don't pay attention to like that until you think about it later. But when Sean took that bump on the corner of that casket, it was like, yeah, he's done.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the ugliest damn things I ever saw. It was like, oh, my
God. And that was like 30 seconds into that match.
Yeah. The fact that he got through that whole thing, gutted it out for the next 2 months as far as doing TVs and doing appearance, and then went through that entire match with Austin – again, that's why Shawn Michaels is either 1 or 1A, right there. Shit like that.
Apparently Kurt Angle makes the rules because he just told Nick Patrick to stop counting.
That's right. You don't do that. Kurt Angle's a world champion. He's making the rules up as he goes now.
Yeah. Now Nick Patrick's counting again. Damn it, Patrick, you don't listen to a damn thing.
That's right. It's like, you can't break the rules, Nick Patrick. Bischoff's not the boss anymore.
Oh,
did his face or his teeth go into that thing?
I don't know.
That looked like he took the top of that thing right in the teeth. Let me see.
Or the throat. Oh! It was just across the neck.
Oh, God! Ugh. Oh! That's a trachea moment. Oh, look at Kurt's face! Ugh. Oh, my God!
Damn.
Oh, he and Chimble's like, oh, my God.
I haven't watched this match in a long time, so I forgot about that.
See, I've never seen this. This is all first-hand reaction for me, man. Crap!
Man. Why'd you break the count if you're just climbing the ropes, Taker? That's the Undertaker. He does what he wants.
That's right. I mean, you know what? Kurt, to his credit, is about to do this. Look at that. He still ran and caught him on the ropes. Jeez. Wrestling machine, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you. And he's going to suplex him up there. That's, 200 and something pounds, 300 and something pounds.
Yeah.
Jeez. Or a headbutt, that works too. He keeps him. Look, there's a bump of Undertaker's forehead from headbutting Kurt Angle. There's a welt popping up already. God. Oh, there it is. Oh, I was waiting for it. Yeah, damn right, cover him quick.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness. I'm tired just watching this.
Telling you.
These two guys are just a grade above, man. Even in 2006, when both of them were quote-unquote toward the end, and here we are, they're still, well, Kurt just retired last year officially.
Yeah.
Taker hasn't officially retired, buddy.
Well, Taker was, we should say, nearing the end of his full-time schedule.
Right, right. Golly. Oh, wait, I forgot I'm in a match. I thought I was in a fight.
Do you ever ask Rob about that time he went on and faced Santino in a match? He did the 5-star frog splash and celebrated, and I was like, oh, wait, I'm in a match.
Yes. It was actually, if you go back and watch Talk Wrestling when he was on the following February, I asked him about that, and he got so caught up in the moment of being back after being gone for so long, he forgot it wasn't back. So he went over, and Kim was like, hello, and, oh, yeah, I'm in a match.
Angle was so freaking smooth, by the way.
So fluid. Just, and look at that. See, yeah, nope, you're not turning me over. Nope. You're staying right here. Now, see, I remember he adopted the ankle lock in 2001 in that match with Scotty. Yeah. And I'm trying to remember when he adopted the grapevine as part of it.
I think the first time I saw it was against Benoit in 03.
Okay, that would make sense to me because he had to do something because Benoit just would not quit.
Yeah.
Which we need to watch that next year during Rumble season at some point.
Absolutely, because that's a match nobody talks about anymore because
it's Benoit. You know what? I honestly would rather watch that match than the Rumble match if we do a 2003 Royal Rumble. I'd rather, because the Rumble match was good, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, 2003 was okay.
Yeah, so if we, if we supplement that instead of the 95 Rumble because, ugh. But
well, there's nothing from 95 at all that's redeeming,
except the very, very, very end.
Well, the ladder match between Shawn and Razor that I got to see last.
Well, but I mean the actual match itself, the 95 Rumble match is great in of itself.
I just meant the entire calendar year.
Oh, well, yeah, the calendar year was, yeah. Now, there's a reason why they count Nash as the least drawing champion of all time. It's like, well, yeah. But the 95 Rumble match is not very good until the very, very last 2 minutes or so. So, we can watch the 03 Benoit Angle match instead of that if you.
That's fine.
We'll get there. We got a whole year now. So. Stalking his prey, much like The Rock, much like he's done in the past. Oh, last ride? Ooh, last ride. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. This is the dead man.
Whoops. Back to the angle.
Yeah, see? Again, just one fluid motion. Like, yep, I'm getting Marmette. No, the 24/7 on demand logo in the corner there.
Yeah.
What a botch experiment that original later. Yeah.
Yeah. The original WWE Network.
Yeah. Actually, the original WWE Network was a case of videotapes on my shelf.
Yeah.
As was all of our childhood. Same thing. And not just call same videos. I'm talking video VCR recorded tapes, man. Oh, jeez.
Like Superstars and
Tuesday
Night Titans and stuff like that.
What's funny is I have yet to watch a single episode of TNT to this day.
Well, they're on the network. Maybe we'll do that one day.
There you go. Well, the thing is, you have to actually
listen. Slam.
Yeah, TNT actually had to hear the voices. So it wouldn't be much of a walk along.
Yeah. Plus, it's Bobby Heenan. Do we really want to talk over him?
No. Especially where the Bobby Heenan show was introduced to. That was on primetime. Whoa, jeez. Straps came down. He set up. All right, here we go. Now just throwing hands. That's all right. Here we go. All right. Oh, man.
Good old soup bones.
I swear Angle's face morphed on that one punch. Tombstone? Nope. He's going to kick out. Oh, nice. Nice reversal. Careful. And again.
Again.
I love it.
Kurt is so damn good.
It's ridiculous how good he is. Oh, there's a grapevine.
There's the grapevine.
Oh, now it's over. But, yeah. Had Taker tapped out by this point?
No, Taker's technically never tapped out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is astonishing to me.
I mean, you could count his 2002 match against Kurt.
Right.
SummerSlam match against Lesnar where he technically did tap out, but the ref didn't see it.
Right. Wow, that's funny that he's never been legally counted as tapped out. That's funny.
Yeah. Taker's never lost a match by submission, I don't think.
And it looks like the very, very tippy top of Kurt's head's got some cuts.
Yeah.
Slam again. Holy crap.
Angle slam.
Kurt is just done with this crap. He's over this. Oh, triangle jump. Whoa. Kurt's trying to rear back. He's trying to do something.
Use the triangle before he used the Hell's Gate.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, now, is Kurt, okay, Kurt's going out. Is Undertaker? Okay. So Kurt's fading here from the triangle. Like I said, I have no idea how this match ends. I just know who wins. I just don't know how it ends. So I'm curious for a moment here. Kurt's refusing to get to die, man. He's still fighting, still struggling. This is crazy.
Babyface fire, baby.
That's it. Was he a babyface during this whole world title run?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he was like slightly a heel at the beginning because he still had Daivari with him.
All right, well, one, two, three. There it is. Wow. He got him. And he's unconscious. I'm pretty sure Kurt pinned him there. I can hear the announcement here.
I was angle tapped, but
maybe he did.
I don't think.
trying to see what they're saying here. Oh, wow, he did pin it. Oh, Taker's pissed. What the hell is that? Nick Patrick is going to die.
Well, no, he got out of there.
He got out of there. Ah, he got smart since his NWO days. Goldberg would have caught him.
Hell yeah.
Kind of love that Goldberg's going in to face the Fiend. Like, what the hell? Really? When is that, by the way,
that's
dude?
On Thursday.
Yeah, what the hell kind of botched booking is that? What is that show called? Super Showdown? Yeah, there it is.
Super Showdown.
Yeah. Actually, it's let's see, today's the 19th. As this is, yeah, so okay, so the day before I leave for Vegas. Okay, so next week. That's crazy. Taker telling him, you were in a fight, boy. You got lucky. Hey, to Kurt's credit,
he's not even going to see a replay.
I guess not.
Huh.
Wow. There you go. There's the WWE logo. Craziness. So, yeah. So, there you go. So, next week here on the show, as we see Randy, if you're on the Roku, you see Randy Orton's statuesque pose.
Yeah.
Where's my notes? There's my notes. Okay. So, next week, we're going to do you guys a solid, because as a lead into what's going to be a craptastic show the next day, because it is in Saudi Arabia. Next week, we're going to present one of my favorite matches. I've only seen once, but there's a lot of history behind it. There's a lot of cool stuff that goes into talking about it. Next week on this show, we're going to present a match from the March 3rd, 1997 episode of Monday Night Raw. Now, this was taped next week in history. And what I mean by that is it was taped on February 26th, 1997 in Europe, because it is to determine the initial World Wrestling Federation European champion. It is the tournament finals between the King of Hearts, Owen Hart, and the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. And it's crazy to think that that was 23 years ago next week that this match took place. Like, 23 years. Madness. So, what are you looking forward to the most about next week's show, Mr. Jerry?
It has been a long time since I've seen this match.
Me too.
Because I don't know if I watched it live when it happened or if I watched like it shortly after, but it's probably been since 97 since I've seen it.
Wow. Yeah, I had never seen it prior to the network era, because 97, let's see, that would have been my final semester of junior high school, and I was well into my being grounded from wrestling because my grades sucked phase. So I didn't see anything till the summer, and I didn't have enough VCR tape to tape 6 months of programming. So I didn't see it until I watched, I want to say it was when the Bret Hart, the Hart Legacy DVD came out, the one with the pink cover with the maple leaf on it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's on that set, but I have seen it once since it aired, and it is a thing of beauty, and it's one of those things where I believe they were currently the World Tag Team Champions. And they had made it to the finals against each other. So it's going to be something special. You know, we're going to get a perspective on guys that are no longer with us, a title that's no longer being used, and an era of Raw prior to the transition to Raw is War and 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we are literally putting our toes into the water of the Attitude Era already, as Brett has already shoved Vince on his keister by then. But we're really not going to get elbows deep until WrestleMania with the Brett-Steve double turn. And so this is kind of a in purgatory type match where It's a great singles match, one-on-one between the brothers-in-law, and we get a glimpse of their intensity and their great skills in the ring, and we're going to see them, a few weeks later, they're going to team up with Brett and reform the Hart family, the foundation. So it's a cool moment. And then, of course, the following week, March 4th, if, God help us, if things all go well, we'll be joined by Rob Van Dam on commentary for he and Jerry Lynn from 2001. So that'll be exciting couple of weeks coming up. But that's it for this week. Any plugs, sir?
As always, the Teespring store. You can go to my Instagram at PA Sensation. The link is in my bio because that's the only place links work on Instagram.
Yes, yes.
But teespring.com/stores/Keystone Delight. Go find my shirts there. Like I said, I'm working on some new designs. I have them in my head. I just have to sit down and do them.
He has designs in his head. Sorry.
They sell for me.
They sell for me.
All right.
Okay.
I wish. Then, shit. If they sold for me, then all I'd be doing is making shirts. I could quit my job and I can make shirts. I'd love sure. that.
I feel this. Trust me, yeah. So you can follow Greg on at PA Sensation. You can follow him just there. You can follow me on Instagram. Yeah, on Twitter.
Instagram at PA Sensation, not Twitter. I want to say this real quick. I hopped onto Twitter just to see if like anything had happened with my old Twitter account, and it's I don't know what the hell it is now. I feel like it's like some porn account now. Which is probably the thing that hacked me.
Jeez.
So, like, Instagram only a PA Sensation. That you won't find me on Twitter.
I'm curious what it is now. Now I'm going to look.
Don't.
Oh, these tweets are protected. Wow.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to know.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I will tell you off air. Yeah, @_JeffMeacham on Twitter and Instagram @JMeachPodcast for this show and the other shows on the Jeff Meacham Network @TheJeffMeachamNetwork on Instagram for the shows and for various postings from the Jeff Meacham Network. We will see you guys next week right here on Wrestling Rewind. Take care.